Good morning. It's Thursday, December 18th. I'm Lou Ann Stevens, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. In January, all access to hormone treatments and other gender-affirming care for transgender minors will end in Kansas. Some families are opting to leave the state to continue getting care for their children.
As a family, we discussed it, and it was really our only option to keep her safe.
Kansas is one of many states that LGBTQ people are fleeing. We'll have more after the news. The United States has admitted liability in the deadly crash involving an American Airlines flight from Wichita to Washington, D.C. earlier this year. KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports.
The January 29th collision between an American Eagle jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter killed all 67 people aboard the two aircraft. In a court filing, the federal government admits that failures by the helicopter pilots and an air traffic controller led to the crash. The government says the pilots failed to maintain proper and safe visual separation from the jet. It also says a controller in the tower did not comply with an order governing air traffic control procedure. An attorney for Rachel Crafton, whose husband died on the regional jet, says the government is not the only party responsible for the crash. A final report from federal investigators is not expected until next month at the earliest. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
Sedgwick County commissioners are considering buying land as part of a planned major expansion of K-96. KMUW's Daniel Cottle has more.
The Northwest Bypass would extend K-96 from about 45th and Mays Road to Kellogg, just east of Goddard. Commissioners were set to vote on buying land for the expansion, but opted instead to defer the vote until next year. Sedgwick County engineer Lynn Packer says the county needs to conduct a major investment study.
We'd like to wait until that study is complete, which will be here in 2026, and then re-engage with them about a multi-year agreement for funding of the right-of-way.
The Kansas Department of Transportation first began buying property for the project in 2006. Land for the project is expected to cost about $50 million. The state estimates the expansion would generate nearly $900 million in economic impact. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
The first phase of a redesigned Douglas Avenue will start with some paint. The Wichita City Council approved a six-month pilot project this week that will stretch from Washington to Grove. The project will reduce lanes from 5 to 3, create bike lanes, and add parallel parking along the street. It will also carve out a lane for buses at East High School. Lily Wu was the lone vote against the design.
I want to be crystal clear that the Douglas Street redesign concept was not my vision and not my plan, and I believe the city has much more pressing street issues that should be addressed first.
If the pilot is a success, Wichita City officials plan to spend $4.7 million between 2027 and 2028 constructing the new road pattern. The former mayor of a southwest Kansas town will make his first court appearance tomorrow. Joe Ceballos faces charges of illegal voting. A hearing is scheduled for tomorrow afternoon at the Comanche County Courthouse in Coldwater. The charges were filed by Attorney General Chris Kobach in November. Ceballos had just won re-election as Coldwater's mayor. He resigned earlier this month. Ceballos has lived in Coldwater since 1985. He said that he thought being a legal permanent resident allowed him to vote. If found guilty, Ceballos faces prison time and possible deportation. Republicans in the Kansas Senate want to create a Charlie Kirk Free Speech Day to honor the controversial conservative activist. A pre-filed resolution is co-sponsored by all 31 Senate Republicans. It would establish the Free Speech Day on October 14th, which is Kirk's birthday. Kirk was assassinated in September while speaking at a Utah university. The resolution says Kirk's legacy will continue to serve as an example of the importance of free speech and the First Amendment. A similar bill was pre-filed in the Missouri General Assembly. People in Kansas City can now apply to rent out their homes under the special short-term rules the city approved for next year's World Cup matches. But as Sam Zeff tells us, property owners aren't rushing to host World Cup visitors.
A new report from the Mid-America Regional Council says that listings for short-term rentals are down 18% during the 8-week World Cup window. In October, Mark says there were 1,300 listings in the metro. There are just 1,000 listings for next summer. However, the median price jumped from $250 a night to $300. The price for a short-term rental tops $400 a night in Olathe, Kansas City, Missouri, Lenexa, and Overland Park. Mark says the data suggests owners are adjusting prices rather than adding new listings. I'm Sam Zeff.
The National Weather Service has announced a fire weather watch for parts of south-central Kansas starting today. Sedgwick County and surrounding areas are included in the watch, which goes from this morning through tomorrow. Forecasts call for wind speeds of 30 to 40 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 60 miles per hour throughout the day. The winds, combined with the extremely dry conditions and low humidity, mean fires that develop may spread rapidly. The winds will also make driving difficult, especially for high-profile vehicles. The FBI is warning people to be aware of scammers during the holiday season. Since 2020, more than $50 billion in losses have been reported to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. Officials say that artificial intelligence has elevated Internet scams. AI is being used to create fake documents, videos, and voice replications. Common scams include non-delivery of items, gift card fraud, and romance schemes. People should not click on suspicious links in emails or on social media, and they should report criminal activity through the IC3 website. More information is at fbi.gov. Former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster will speak at Wichita State University next spring. McMaster will be featured in a moderated discussion as part of the Barton Speaker Series. The event is April 8th. Ticket information will be released in March. McMaster served 34 years in the Army before retiring as a three-star general. He was National Security Advisor for just more than a year during President Donald Trump's first term. McMaster also is the author of three best-selling books, including At War with Ourselves, My Tour of Duty in the Trump White House. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMEW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Lou Ann Stevens. On January 1st, young people in Kansas will be completely banned from receiving gender-affirming medical treatments. As Zane Irwin of the Kansas News Service reports, transgender people and their families have already started fleeing for states where they can access care, uprooting their lives in the process.
On a chilly December morning, Jill Clements shows me photo after photo of her 19-year-old daughter, Paige.
This is one of my favorites. So this is when I dropped her off her sophomore year of college, and there just happened to be like this beautiful rainbow as we were coming out of a restaurant eating, and I just thought it was like, okay, this is another sign that this is the right thing.
By the right thing, Jill means the decision to have her transgender daughter, who was a minor at the time, end high school early and move to Minnesota, with legislation piling up in Kansas and Missouri that threatened Paige's access to gender-affirming medical treatments, Jill felt like they had no choice.
As a family, we discussed it, and, you know, it was really our only option.
In February, overwhelming Republican majorities in the Kansas legislature passed a ban on puberty blockers, hormone therapies, and other treatments for transgender minors. In an interview at the time, Republican State Senate President Ty Masterson said the bill protects kids from making life-altering medical decisions.
We have, you know, scores of children basically on the conveyor belt towards permanent injury. And so what I expect is for that conveyor belt to stop.
Many health organizations, including the American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics, support access to gender-affirming care for minors. Nevertheless, Kansas has joined 26 other states with laws restricting that access, specifically for young people whose gender identities differ from their sex assigned at birth. In those states, many families have been forced to make a different kind of life-altering decision to end care, to find workarounds, or simply to leave.
These young people, they're kind of forced to deal with an environment without their consent.
That's Dr. Stephen Habaika. He's a clinical psychologist and researcher for the Trevor Project, a national LGBTQ advocacy group. In a survey of over 18,000 queer-identifying teens and young adults, he found that 40% considered moving because of state laws. And despite the challenges of finding new work, housing, and community, 4% actually did leave.
Some people might be like, oh, you know, that's a low number, only 4%. But actually being able to leave a state is a very difficult thing to do.
That was the case for R.A. We're only using her initials to protect the privacy of her kids. After living in Kansas for her entire life, R.A. left for Colorado in July so her transgender son could access the treatments that her home state had just banned.
It's been a struggle financially for both their dad and I. Since I moved, of course, I have them full time, so he's paying more child support, which has led to him having to sell their childhood home, and it's been a mess for everybody.
The decision to leave and to seek gender-affirming care in the first place was not easy. RA's ex-husband, Robert, says he worries about the long-term effects of a gender transition.
If that's what he wants, I want him to have it. I'm just not sure that it's the right thing to do to allow a young child to make a decision like that that could be life-altering in the future.
Robert's son has not yet started on puberty blockers, but he's lived his whole life as a boy, and he's met multiple times with psychiatrists and endocrinologists. And despite his reservations, Robert still opposes the ban on care that Kansas lawmakers passed this year.
I don't know if that's something that laws should be made about. I feel like that should be a unique decision-making process for every single individual.
The families of two other transgender teens in Kansas have sued in state court to block the law from taking full effect. But absent a favorable ruling for them in the next few weeks, families like theirs will continue to face choices that feel impossible. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
KMUW's Kansas News Service reports on health, the many factors that influence it, and their connection to public policy. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Tomorrow on The Range, why that CBD shop on the corner might have to close. Plus, veterans help bring the joy of Christmas to children. So join us on The Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.